Okay. The House will come to order. The flag salute will be led by Representative Cliff Bentz.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our opening ceremony this morning will be presented by Minister Fred Gray from Mobile, Alabama, who has been invited by our colleague Senator Margaret Carter. Mr. Gray is a minister in the United Church of Christ. He's a former state legislator in Alabama, a graduate of the Nashville Christian Institute, Alabama State University, and Case Western Reserve, a very accomplished person who's held a variety of distinguished positions. Welcome. Please proceed.
Mr. Speaker and members of the House, may we pray. Our Father and our God, we're thankful to Thee for all the blessings of life. We are thankful for this day and for the opportunity which it gives us that we can serve You and to serve our fellow men and women. We are thankful for this country where we can worship Thee in spirit and in truth. We are thankful for the leadership. We ask Thy blessings upon our new Commander-in-Chief for his administration. We pray, Father, for this state, for its governor, for its legislators, for all of those who are seeking to do Thy will and seeking to do the will of the people, to bring to us great government so that we may be able to serve Thee and serve our fellow men. Bless this legislative body as it shall be deliberating here today. May it do those things which will be for the upbuilding of the people of this state and in keeping with Thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being with us today. Courtesies, we will begin with our moment in Oregon history today. Representative Wingard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've been practicing some words, so let's hope I get them right. The Sesquicentennial History Minute is from the Oregon Encyclopedia, a statewide project supported by Portland State University, Oregon Historical Society, and Oregon Council of Teachers of English, with generous support from the Oregon Cultural Trust. This History Minute is written by Henry Zenk, with my minor edits. Tualatin was the name of a collection of independent villages whose residents spoke a dialect of northern Kalapuya. They are also known as Atfalate, or Atfalati. 16 known Tualatin villages stretched across the Tualatin Plains, modern-day Beaverton, Hillsborough, Mountaindale, and Forest Grove, the Wapato Valley, which is Gaston today, and the Chehalem and North Yamhill Valleys, Newburgh, Carlton, and Yamhill. Eight villages were clustered around a former marshy lake at Gaston, noted for its abundance of wapato, the tubers that were an important native staple food. Tualatins lived half the year in plank houses, semi-excavated winter houses built of cedar bark slabs or cedar planks lashed to a rectangular framework. They spent their drier part of the year in pursuit of seeds, roots, berries, fish, and game. These stored provisions permitted time during the winter months for storytelling and religious ceremonialism, as well as tasks such as basket weaving. Tualatin religion revolved around the individual's relationship with one or more helpful spirits, first sought on pre-adolescent quests and expressed in later life through songs performed at winter spirit dances. Individuals with particularly strong spirits might become shamans, called on to treat serious illnesses. Tualatin suffered greatly from introduced diseases. Only about 65 still survived in 1856, when the tribe was removed to the Grand Ronde Reservation, some 60 miles southwest of their original homeland.
Thank you, Representative Wingard. Further courtesies, Representative Kamp.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Volunteers and staff today are here from Liberty House, It is a child abuse assessment center. Liberty House serves children, and over half of those are under the age of 7, with concerns of child abuse and neglect. My fellow members, there are 19 Liberty House centers around Oregon who work with collaboratively with the Oregon Network of Child Abuse Intervention Centers. Please welcome the volunteers and the staff of Oregon's child abuse centers today. Thank you.
Yeah, we'd welcome. They're all up in the gallery there. There's a particularly attractive, smart one that is head of the Clackamas County Children's Center that I happen to be married to. Welcome all of you to the Capitol. Further courtesies, Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I'd like to introduce to you today and welcome to the House of Representatives Clatsop County Veterans Service Officer Kenneth Rislow. He's over on the side aisle. He's worked long and hard for our veterans, tirelessly advocating for people who have come back from our wars, any war, old guys, young guys, women. Please extend courtesies of the House to him today. Thank you.
Welcome to the House, Representative Shields.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to add a little bit of dimension to the introduction that you gave to Fred Gray. We truly have a piece of American history with us in Dr. Gray, I believe, being here in our attendance. Dr. Gray was the attorney of Martin Luther King and was also the attorney of Rosa Parks in Montgomery, Alabama, that led to the Montgomery bus boycott. And he's now currently in private practice doing everything from business law to continuing a very distinguished career in civil rights litigation. We wanted to offer courtesies to the House, and again, thank you for coming. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Gray, again for being here today. Representative Kotek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd also like to extend courtesies of the House to some other guests who are visiting with Dr. Gray, Reverend Matt Hennessy and his wife Sharon are on the side aisle. Reverend Hennessy is with the Vancouver Avenue First Baptist Church, and it's a pleasure to have you here today. Thank you for visiting.
Welcome to the House. Good to have you here. Representative Wingard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just was hoping everybody would extend courtesies to my intern, Emily Dunbar, who is a senior at Western Oregon and a native of West Lynn. And she's intern for the term and majoring in business. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Welcome. Further courtesies. The clerk will now open the voting system to determine the presence of a quorum. We have excused Representatives Bailey, Hannah, Jefferson-Smith, and Tomei. Representative Bailey is here, so the other three are excused, and all other members are present. Messages from the Governor. Messages from the Senate. First reading, memorials and resolutions.
H.J.R. 8, declaring President Abraham Lincoln as honorary territorial governor for February 12, 2009.
The measure is read for the first time and passed the Speaker's desk for referral. Standing committee reports. The committee report file has been distributed. Special committee reports. Propositions and motions. Representative Nolan.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that in compliance with Article 4, Section 19 of the Oregon Constitution, and notwithstanding any provision of the rules of the House of Representatives of the 75th Legislative Assembly, the requirement that on its final passage each bill shall be read section by section, be suspended this regular session of the 75th Legislative Assembly, and that all bills pending before the House for final passage during this regular session be read by title only.
Colleagues, this sounds like a very complex, complicated motion. You might just think of this as the Save Obie's Voice motion for the session. This is a motion that is proposed each session. And those are the opinion that the requirement that all bills, actually I should restate, Representative Nolan moves that in compliance with Article 4, Section 19 of the Oregon Constitution and notwithstanding any provision of the rules of the House of Representatives of the 75th Legislative Assembly, the requirement that on its final passage each bill shall be read section by section be suspended for this regular session of the 75th Legislative Assembly, and that all bills pending before the House for final passage during this regular session be read by title only. Those of the opinion that the requirement that all bills be read section by section should be suspended will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion adopted. The provision is suspended. Additional propositions and motions. First reading of House bills.
House Bill 2409 relating to motorcycle helmets. House Bill 2410 relating to identification numbers of vehicles. House Bill 2411 relating to termination of membership in the public employees retirement system. House Bill 2412 relating to the renewal of delinquent certificates by the State Board of Examiners for Engineering and Land Surveying. House Bill 2413 relating to services for individuals with traumatic brain injuries and providing for revenue raising that requires approval of 3/5 majority. House Bill 2414 relating to elections. House Bill 2415 relating to private investigations and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2416 relating to private investigators. House Bill 2417 relating to railroad highway grade crossings. House Bill 2419 relating to school nutrition standards and employee areas and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2420 relating to workers' compensation claims for cancer by firefighters. House Bill 2421 relating to mental property and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2422 relating to sales of catalytic converters and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2423 relating to protection of property. House Bill 2424 relating to the Oregon Adopt a Highway Program.
Bills read for the first time were passed to the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of House bills. Consent calendar. Third reading of House bills. Final reading, memorials and resolutions. The clerk shall read the resolution.
SCR 2, establishing deadlines for completion of legislative measures and date of adjournment, sine die.
Question now arises upon final reading and adoption of SCR 2A. Representative Roblin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise today to give a short explanation of SCR 2, Senate Concurrent Resolution 2. In bringing SCR 2 to the floor, the House and Senate send a strong message that we intend to work together to complete the people's business in a timely and well-planned manner. Last session, to our credit, all of ours, Republicans, Democrats, Senators, and House members, we did adjourn before June 30th. This schedule allows us to plan ahead, to streamline the operations of the legislature. Another part of this resolution that is very important is that constitutionally, each body must get permission from the other body in order to stay off the floor more than 3 consecutive days. And so embedded in this resolution is the opportunity for us through early February to meet once or twice a week, as you've seen on our schedule. So combining those two things, it allows our committees to work, it allows us to do things on the floor appropriately and get the business done for the state. Again, this is a resolution that takes 40 votes, and we would appreciate to change. We would appreciate each and every one of our members understanding this and voting in the aye for Senate Concurrent Resolution 2A. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, Representative Richardson.
Mr. Speaker, colleagues, I would like to commend the leadership of the Senate and the House
for bringing this bill forward, having served in the 2003 and 2005 legislative sessions, which drug on into August, to see a bill like this come forward where it sets forth the deadlines, we know what we're dealing with, and our families can count, and our citizens and constituents can also count on us being concluded with the people's business by the end of June, is a great change in procedure, and I strongly support it. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I rise today in support of SCR2 and urge you to join me in voting aye on this resolution. It is no secret that a strict time management is a benefit to this body and this process. And given the difficult task before us, focused and diligent work is of the utmost importance if we are to work through this session in an efficient and timely manner. But I want to caution this body to not exchange quality for expediency or sacrifice fiscal responsibility for the sake of deadlines. We appreciate that SCR2 is different from its predecessors, SCR1 in the 2007 session, in that it explicitly addresses the 2009 session and appropriately leaves out any reference to annual or test sessions in 2010. Any discussions about annual sessions, including one for 2010, must include the general public. Lastly, I appreciate that this resolution is not rushed, but deliberated and discussed, and that the minority party had an opportunity to respond and offer feedback on the purpose of the deadlines. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion. Representative Roblin, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that SCR 2A should be adopted will vote aye, and those opposed no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Kenemer, how do you vote? Representative Kenemer votes aye. SCR 2A, having received the required majority, is declared adopted. Bills, reports, and other business lying on the table. First reading of Senate bills. Second reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 339 relating to allotments and declaring an emergency.
The bill is read for the second time and passed to third reading. Third reading of Senate bills. The chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and that SB 339 be read for the third time immediately. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. The clerk will read the bill.
SB 339, relating to allotments and declaring an emergency.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of SB 339. Representative Glizio.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 339 prohibits the Department of Administrative Services and the governor from reducing amounts allotted to state agencies below the amount needed to pay debt service for the current biennium. In the 03 legislature, House Bill 2148 was passed. The bill granted the governor the authority to reduce allotments of expenditures across the board when a general fund budget deficit occurred during the biennium. The reductions were required to be to all appropriations by an equal percentage. For the 07-09 biennium, a number of these discrete appropriations are solely for debt service. With the governor recently electing to implement allotment reductions to eliminate the current budget deficit, it has been pointed out that these debt service appropriations would also need to be reduced under current law. Senate Bill 339 still requires the governor to take allotment reductions equally from all appropriations, but it requires that any reductions to debt service may not be below the amount needed for the rest of the biennium. Colleagues, without passage of this bill, the state will not be able to issue any more debt, which includes a number of projects that were approved by the 07 legislature. The bill also allows current administrative rule issued by the Department of Administrative Services for the governor to conform with current law. The Joint Ways and Means Committee recommends approval of Senate Bill 339.
Further discussion, Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the resolution, or to the bill.
I'm sorry, to the motion.
To the bill.
You want to speak to the bill, Representative Cameron?
Yeah, are we still on the motion to suspend the rules?
No, actually, we've already suspended the rules. We're on third reading, so you may certainly speak to the bill.
To the bill.
To the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, this seems like it's a technical fix, which it is, which will allow the state of Oregon to continue to make the payments on the bonds that we have obligated ourselves to in the past. Really, from what's happening here is that we have a budget crisis in the state of Oregon, and the governor, with his authority, has decreased budgets across the board. But let this serve as a reminder. The obligations that we have on these bonds cannot be reduced. And that's why we are passing this bill. We can make other cuts, but once we pass a bond, we cannot cut back on that obligation in the future. We need to think about that as we move forward in this legislative session and take opportunities to obligate ourselves in the future.
Further discussion. Seeing none, Representative Galizio, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Senate Bill 339, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Other business of the House. Other business of the Senate. The orders of the day have been completed. Announcements. Remonstrances. Representative Chip Shields.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I believe Senator Carter is on the way to my desk to help me with this remonstrance, and hopefully that will happen within the course of 2 minutes and 50 seconds. I will begin as I'm waiting. And I appreciate the House's indulgence. As I mentioned earlier, we truly have an historic figure in our presence, and we have with us that Senator Carter would like to make in a public forum for our appreciation for him coming to Oregon to work on various Dr. King events around the state. And this is a picture from the cartoonist or the artist from the Oregonian, Jack Oman. And it depicts Rosa Parks in 1955, and it depicts Barack Obama riding in the presidential limousine in juxtaposition in 2008. And we would like to present this to him over on the sidebar in grateful appreciation for his work, not only with Rosa Parks and Dr. King, but as I looked at his biography, he was also the head counsel in the Tuskegee experiments litigation. So please offer appreciation of the House. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Shields and Senator Carter. Representative Chris Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and colleagues. Last week, my colleague and friend from Oregon's Christmas Tree District, during remonstrances, asked somewhat rhetorically if it were not too much to ask the state to simply tighten its belt during these difficult times. And I think we all know how difficult these times are. And I wanted to support his admonition, but also make sure that we not forget what some of those cuts are going to mean. Certainly, my family is doing our part in tightening our belt. We're eating out at restaurants less often, which Oregon's restaurateurs probably don't appreciate, but Oregon's grocers probably do appreciate. We'll be making cuts to human services, which will most surely endanger the lives of the frail and elderly. We will make cuts to public safety budgets, which will most surely leave crimes unaccounted for and justice unserved. And we will make cuts to potentially to an education system which already falls short of a quality education model and will surely increase class sizes and require cuts to programs such as the industrial arts. So I commend my colleague's admonition that the state tighten its belt, and I invite all of my colleagues, to the extent that we are not willing to take the measures necessary to raise some more revenue for the state, I invite all those folks that are not willing to do that to support these budgets and these cuts that will surely endanger the frail and elderly, leave justice unserved, and underfund an education system that already falls short of providing the opportunity that our kids deserve. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further remonstrances? Adjournment. Representative Phil Barnhart, do you have a motion to adjourn until 10:15 a.m. on Tuesday, January 27th?
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House stand adjourned until 10:15 on Tuesday, January 22nd, 2009.
Representative Barnhart moves that the House adjourn until 10:15 on Tuesday, January 27th.
Thank you, sir. Yes.
2009. Without objection, the House adjourned.